This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Good to have you here as we move through and celebrate our 10th year. Hopefully, you've had a chance to see that episode that we did. It's Town Hall Academy 437, so please check it out. Before we jump into this thing heavy duty with Keith Katz, a word from our great partners. Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level, with the NAPA Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your NAPA sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop. Hey, did you know that NAPA Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, welcome back. Let's get started. Hey, Keith, how are you? Good to see you.
Hey, Carm, good to see you too, man. Been a while.
It has. The owner of Quality Service Center in York, Pennsylvania. 45 years in the industry, 27 years as a shop. How's business, bud?
Oh, man. It's like everything else. It's up and down. But for the past probably 4 or 5 years, we've seen a steady growth upward. So things have been going well. Got good, solid crew here. Just good set of clients. And we're real happy with where we're at right now. Going real well.
Glad to hear it. Our first episode was November 2015, about 9.5 years ago. You came on the show. It was a great episode. We've done others in between. Do you remember that episode we did on the 1990s?
Yeah, because I remember the pictures that we all sent in and what we looked like back then. That's kind of funny. But yeah, things have really changed since the 1990s, that's for sure.
Yeah, we had you, Scott Palava, Paul Danner, and Ryan Koyman on, and we all had a picture of us from the 90s. And it was like some people said, who's that? We can't recognize that person. You were all dark haired and everything.
And what were we thinking with the hairstyles and everything?
Well, what are we thinking now? I mean, everybody's got that Pee Wee Herman look. You don't have that. And I don't have that.
It's the best I can do with what I have left and the color it is. So, you know.
Well, you know, I heard you say you're happy with the way business is. But, you know, if you look out over the horizon 5 years, what's going to change that you see?
For me personally, I hope to be retired in 5 years, actually in 4 years, but you know, that's me personally. But 5 years, it's hard to say, Carm, because so much has changed over the past five. Just thinking of, you know, 5 years ago, ADOS was something that was maybe on our radar, so to speak, you know, like, this is coming. But here we are 5 years later and it's full blown. The whole ADOS program with the self-driving cars that they keep talking about, electric vehicles, things like that. You know, right now here in York, Pennsylvania, they're starting to build more on the hybrids here. All right. The clientele around here really have gotten into the hybrids, but we are starting to see more and more of the electric cars. We always seem to be 2-3 years behind what you see in other places, but the electric cars are starting to come in here like they have been in other places for maybe the past 5-6 years. Other places have seen them, and we're just starting to see them come in full here in York, Pennsylvania.
How long has it been since you've been repairing hybrid?
I think back like COVID, you know, COVID is kind of like this bookmark. I know we did training pre-COVID, so it's probably been 6-7 years when we started, and it hasn't really been till like the past year and a half, 2 years that we actually see a regular set of hybrids coming in. So again, a little bit further behind than a lot of other cities.
Are you marketing hybrid repair a lot?
We are using that in our Google searches and things like that, yes.
So you say ADAS. How many ADAS calibration centers exist in York?
I know of, in the aftermarket, I know of one.
Wow.
Yes. There may be others. I only know of one.
And you know of that one because they knocked on your door?
No, I know of them because they're part of our auto care group here with the Napa Auto Care. So he's in our group.
When you find an instance that you have done something to a vehicle that may need a calibration, is that where you take it?
Yeah, we'll do that or we'll take it back to the manufacturer. A lot depends on what was done, the whole situation behind the job. But yeah, that's what we do.
You're obviously talking about your Napa Business Development Group, right? What's the discussion when you get together about ADAS? Do people just, you know, just want to stay away from it completely? Or, I mean, who wants to go out and invest in the money? Because I've attended some classes recently and, you know, they say that calibration, or that static and dynamic calibrations are going to ebb and flow depending on the vehicle. It's not always going to be dynamic. And some of the conditions of our roads may not, you know, be able to make all of that happen, et cetera, et cetera. There's so much confusion that it makes people either scared to jump in it, Keith, or they say, hey, I'm in. I want to become a specialty shop.
Right. Within our group, there's about 27 in our BDG group. And I'm going to say there's probably about 5 shops within that maybe are looking at it seriously. It's difficult because a lot of us don't have the space. It's also difficult because some of the driving that you have to do to set certain things, you know, oh, you need to go down this highway where it's smooth and go straight for 5 miles and you have to have lines on both sides of the road. Yeah, well, here in York County, good luck with that. It's difficult. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen. I know I've been in talks with another shop owner here locally that we're looking at trying to build something together. So kind of to ease the cost of it a little bit and kind of share it together. But that's just in the infancy stage right now. So we'll see where that goes.
That's a completely interesting thought to partner up with someone, to split the money, feed that shop, promote that shop. You obviously get a startup partnership or a separate corporation in order to pull that off. But when I was at the Napa Now conference and I listened to Matt Fonslow speak to ADAS, to, you know, he did 3 different sessions. Him and I want to get together and actually talk about what went on that stage and the kind of people that came up to him at the end and the questions that they were asking. There's a lot of buzz going on in the industry about ADAS calibrations. And I attended a Keith Perkins class at Tools just a few weeks ago. I was in there for an hour. I couldn't pull myself away. I was trying to go to a bunch of classes. And Keith just rocked my world in the things he talked about that we, as an industry, Keith, are just saying, doesn't matter. It's not important. But it is.
It is very important. And that issue comes down to, we can talk about it as business owners and we can be trained in it. But if we don't learn to talk to our clients about it, the importance behind it, that's where it's going to fall apart. Because, you know, you already have a lot of people like, you know, if it doesn't work, I don't care. Or if the light's on, I mean, how many cars we pull in sometimes that the TPMS light's on and they're like, oh, I just ignore that, you know? So what else are they going to start ignoring? And it's kind of funny because I tell the story often, you know, everybody loves this technology. They're like, oh, I got to have this, got to have this. And we had a client come in, her camera system stopped working. And she says, I have to have this. I have to have my camera system. Okay, fine, fine. So we looked into it. Well, here, what had happened was she left her passenger side window open one time when it rained. The rain got in the car. The module for the camera was underneath the passenger seat. And guess what? It was full of water. Well, so you got the module, the programming. We needed a new harness because that was all corroded and whatnot. I mean, it was like $4,000. And she goes, well, I don't really need it that bad. So this is what I'm saying. The expense behind it is what some people will sit there and be like, well, you know, and I'm just going to ignore it and maybe turn those features off. I don't know. We have to be able to educate our clients into this is why it's important. And the unfortunate part is the expense behind it. It's a very expensive proposition. I mean, just to do a simple calibration on a lot of these cars, you're talking $200-$400.
Yeah, exactly. I was listening to Keith and he says, look, he's not only has L1 training, and he's out training everywhere. He's doing a lot of great things. He's got a brick and mortar. When someone comes in and for whatever repair, an alignment, that he knows that the alignment is going to be pretty heavy duty alignment. And he says to the, you know, it's a $99 for the alignment, but at the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, $399. Well, Charlie down the road will do it for $89. Why is yours so expensive? And he explains it, and they end up leaving and going for the less alignment because they're not going to do the calibration to the vehicle. And so he tells that story, and then he shows a great graphic example of what a 1 degree off kilter of that front radar means at so many feet down the road. And it's really not looking where you want it to look. It's looking in the other lane that's coming at you. So no matter if it's ADAS, if it's, you know, dynamic cruise, if it's braking, if all whatever the safety features are, it's not going to work as intended. And when I looked at those graphics and I saw Keith at lunch later that day, I said, those graphics that you have, and this goes back to what you just said, telling the story, you need to be on our counters on a laminated flip chart. We need to say, this is how the car runs now. This is how it relates to what's going on down the road, what it sees, and there's 1 degree off. And I want you to see where that radar is looking and the job that it's not going to completely do. And I raised my hand and I says, where are the other 500,000 specialists that work in our bays should be in this class? And all the service advisors and all the owners. So to your point, we're not telling the story, but there's so much crap out there against the professionalism of our industry that think all you're trying to do is sell up.
Well, and then you have the other person that, okay, they go and get that $89 alignment and they drive the car and they say, see, there's no difference. My car goes down the road straight. My tires aren't wearing. It's the unknown that, and sometimes you may not discover that right away. And so that's what makes it harder. And like you said, Carm, our industry already has enough black eyes. You're just trying to, you know, sell me something I don't really need because the guy down the street did it without, you know, any problem. So it's hard.
One day, Keith, I believe, I don't even want to say this, but we may have a liability on our hands one day if somebody does the research and realizes that, you know, there was a shortcut made. Now, if the consumer refused to have that done and leaves and goes, makes their own decision on their own vehicle, but the shop doesn't recommend to do that, even though the vehicle service manual, the service reports say it's not recommended, it's required, and you didn't follow service procedures. So I'm liable not to have this vehicle had a calibration. Like the John Eagle case with Collision on that roof issue that was millions of dollars rewarded or awarded.
I heard about that.
We may have something like that someday. And you know, this technology that's on these vehicles and this technology to recalibrate them, this isn't Disney. This isn't a cartoon. This isn't a movie or story time. It's all real. But we choose as an industry, in a lot of cases, as it, that it comes to spending money to do the proper fix, we choose to say no to it.
Well, and one of the things that I've learned, you know, Clint White, everyone knows Clint White.
Sure does. Yeah.
But he taught me one thing. He always said, words matter. So when you say, I recommend you have this ADOS calibrated, I can or I can't. But when you use the word required, your vehicle requires this to be calibrated, all of a sudden it brings on new meaning. So something that I learned from him years ago.
So how do we improve our professionalism?
I don't know. It's frustrating because, you know, Carm, we here at our shop, we try to uphold the highest standards out there that we can. And we deal with it because of we have shops around us that are throw it together, it goes down the road, you hit the brakes are working fine, you're good to go. And so we deal with that all the time. We will spend the time and explain to the customer, this is why it's important. Some of them don't want to hear it. And some of them are sitting there and they're like, wow, I never knew that. Thank you for explaining that to me. So it's all a matter of just educating our clients, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's in some kind of, I don't know, we used to do some classes here with the ladies and, you know, explaining how cars work and things like that. But maybe we need to hold more classes like that for the general public so they understand the complexity behind cars. I mean, it's not easy anymore.
Are you a Napa Auto Care Center who is ready to take your shop to the next level? Then the Premier Tier Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program is exactly what you need. Gold Certified Auto Care Centers provide customers with a consistent experience no matter where they are in the U.S. Now, this means they are more likely to return and support your shop or find your Gold Certified Auto Care Center while on the road. Gold Certified members can maximize technology, increase their local marketing opportunities, and have a fully trained team that keeps up with the latest trends. Simply put, the Gold Certified Napa Auto Care Program, powered by your local brand, will set you apart. A true partnership is a two-way street. Shops must meet specific criteria to be eligible for the many benefits of gold. Now, Napa Auto Care rewards its most committed partners, their gold certified members, with free premium shop referrals on the Napa online locator, annual marketing dollars, an enhanced warranty, training opportunities, program rebates, and so much more. Are you ready to get started? Contact your local Napa sales representative to discuss your eligibility and apply today. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with Napa Autotech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level, with the Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your Napa sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Let's just put a pin in this whole discussion. This is like critical. Let's just go out and remind ourselves that these car care clinics, and, you know, we would always years ago do them specifically for women, but car care clinics in whole, to your point, I think the technology has moved so fast beyond what the normal consumer has. A lease car, they're not going to come. They don't care every 2 years. They're done. They don't want this hassle. They always want it to be new and fresh and never break down. But the people that are holding on to their vehicles today need to understand that this is a speeding computer bullet, right? And that there's a lot you have to pay attention to.
It's interesting because I had a client tell me that he's thinking about getting rid of his cars and going all electric so he doesn't have to come into the shop anymore. And I was like, okay, let me know how that works for you, dude. Even electric cars, there's things that are going to have to be serviced and repaired on them. It's not like you buy an electric car and you never see a shop anymore. So it's just a matter of educating clients in the proper way so that they understand what exactly they're getting into.
Well, there's thermal management, there's tires, there's suspension. It's amazing how, okay, it goes back to this whole thing. Ask your customer, do you think that the specialists or the technicians that work on your vehicle have to be licensed? And every one of them, Keith, I guarantee you, 99% are going to say, absolutely. And then you're going to tell them, well, they don't.
Yeah.
But to get your nails done or your hair done.
And I know that's a whole different discussion in the industry about having to be elected.
Isn't it? I know. Yeah. We're not ready to talk about that. I know.
We, you know, government's got their hands in enough stuff, but it's like, it's funny how anybody can work on a car and it goes down the highway doing 70, 80 miles an hour. But I have guys at my house right now putting a new AC system in, and they had to be licensed and everything else in order to do that. But yet it's just going to sit still there at my house. You know, we won't get into that discussion, Carm. That's
yeah, all right. So what are you doing with your people, your team, to keep them up to date? You know, what's your training commitment to them?
In fact, it's funny you talk about that, because just even this morning I was on getting everybody registered for ASTA down in North Carolina at the end of September. But we attend as much training as we can. I try to hit one of the big events. When I say one of the big events, you know, here in Pennsylvania, we have Tools. ASTA is one. There's Vision out in Kansas. In fact, I was just out there in March. I think I ran into you, as a matter of fact.
Yes, you did.
We will shut down the shop and take the whole crew because it's that important. We also do, through NAPA, they have training going on throughout the year, evening classes, which are good and it's important. I've been preaching for many years that we shouldn't be doing evening classes because the guys work all day and then they're tired. But we still have some shop owners that are like, well, that's how I always did it. So they're going to do it too and like it. And I'm like, whatever. I'd be more inclined to, hey, let's do training from 8 to 11 in the morning and then work the afternoon or something like that. But
you just landed something really big that bothers the hell out of me. That's how I've always done it, damn it. Keith, and there's so many shop owners that are closing, taking their entire team. And if not, they're taking half of their team one year and half the other. And they just can't accept the fact that they would close down. And you're doing it. And so many other owners are doing it because they realize that this condensed training, be it Vision, be it ASTA, be it ATE, be it, you know, Tools, be all these other great events that are going on, they can't. Is it they can't? They won't. There's fear that they're going to piss off a customer. Listen, I am sure you don't schedule anything on those days. I'm sure your clients get the fact that continuous training or education is a critical thing to keep up in our industry. How, the first day you did this, how did you justify that this was going to be healthy and good for your team and for your business?
The healthy and good for the team, that's easy. I mean, obviously you train them, they work for you, they then produce more, they're able to repair the cars better, faster, whatever it is. So for the team, I didn't have to be convinced of that. The whole thing was taking time to close the shop. Like the first time we did anything, we flew out to Vision. So obviously we have to shut the shop down. We have to get on a plane, fly out. We spend whatever is 2 or 3 days out there and then we fly back. The first time I did it, I'm going to be honest, I was a little nervous. You know, how is the customers going to see this? You know, what's going to happen? I would say of those that I talked to, they said, well, good for you. I'm glad you're taking the time to do that. I mean, I never had any client come and say, I can't believe you closed down. You know, you could have at least left one person here or anything. No one ever said that. You know, there's the fear of losing out on income. I get that. You're shut down for a day or two, depending on how long you close. You know, you're not bringing anything in. Plus, you're spending all this money, so nothing coming in and you're spending additional money. I get that can be a fear, but I don't want to step on toes, but I'm going to say it. If your business can't survive being closed for a day or two, you probably have other issues that you need to work on, and therefore, you really need to be at the training. You know, so I don't see it as a roadblock.
That is a great summary that I haven't heard in a long, long time. You have other problems if you can't, you don't think you could close.
Right. You know, even the clients, again, they're fine. You know, kind of the throw into there, I'm not trying to push this or anything, but like 2.5 years ago, we decided to go to a 4-day work week. We work 4-10s. So it's Monday through Thursday. We're closed Friday through Sunday. Part of my fear was, what are the clients going to say? Are we going to lose business? Are they going to go somewhere else and this and that? Every client that commented to me said, I wish I could work 4-10s. You know, so it's something that other people are jealous of. And our clients are like, oh, okay, I can't come in Friday. I'll drop it off Monday. It's not a big deal. And so our business didn't change. We didn't go backwards in income. In fact, if anything, we actually went ahead. I think the fears are there and they're real for closing to go to training, but I think you need to take the first step and just do it and you'll see, you know what? You're right. I did it and everything's just fine.
And you had mentioned just maybe 10 minutes ago that your business continues to grow. And I've always, when I've interviewed shop owners like you that tell the story of they close and they go, he says, we never missed a beat. The revenue for the month, it was there. It just happened. It was a miracle. The team pulled together.
Yeah. Well, and for me personally, it helped me attract two good techs that I probably wouldn't have had a chance to get otherwise. Because when I interview people, one of the things I always ask them is, you know, why are you looking to leave your current place? And two of the guys that work for me said, it's not that I'm unhappy. I like where I'm working. I just like the idea of only having to work 4 days and have a 3-day weekend. You know, that has nothing to do with the training, but I brought up about the 4-day work week. And so there's other benefits behind some of the things that you do in closing the shop and changing your schedule or whatever. And, you know, the biggest benefit for us is in training is, you know, the guys are on top of the latest and greatest. And there's, you know, even when you get to the big shows like the Visions and the ASTAs and all that other, it's not just about the training, but it's about rubbing shoulders with other people in your industry. And you might pick up a tidbit from, you know, the guy you're sitting next to in class. Hey, you know, what do you guys do for XYZ? And it's like, oh, well, this is how we do it. Like, oh, it's a great idea. And they quick jot it down and, you know, make a note of that. So there's a lot that comes out of taking the time to train.
I recently changed my slogan that I created 10 years ago, listen to learn just one thing. And I added the words and implement it. And I'm an ideas guy. And I go to a conference or I hang out with people. I always have a paper or small notebook with me. When I get back, I go through it and I just start putting those ideas in places that I know that I could go out and react to them and do something about them. And I think that's you got one, see, right in front of you. Look at that.
Yeah, this is my book right here.
Exactly. That's the exact size I bring with me. Yeah, exactly. Oh.
And when I come back, I always leave it on my desk. So.
Yeah. And it should be staring you in the eye and says, hey, read me, read me.
Exactly what happens. Every now and then open, I'm like, oh, that's right. I wanted to paint the room blue or whatever.
But you had to leave in order to think of that.
I know, exactly, right?
So young people coming in, are you doing anything with an apprentice program at all?
Currently, we do not have an apprentice. We've had several over the past few years. I don't even know how to talk about it because some of them worked out well. And we had one guy that, you know, he was here for probably a year, year and a half. And he was like, this is too hard. I'm going to go do something else. It's good experience. It's a lot of work. I'm not going to kid anybody. It's a lot of work to bring an apprentice on. But I don't have anybody working for me in the apprentice level.
So how are we going to get young people in our industry? What are we going to do?
Right, drag them here. No. Well, I think a lot of it comes down to being available to talk to schools. You know, they have career days all the time. In fact, my son just did one over at my granddaughter's school shortly before school ended. And I was like, dude, I would have done that. You should have told me, you know? But I think that's part of it is getting into their classrooms and being able to show them that it is a good career.
So succession, you had kind of tangled that up a little earlier that you'd like to be out in 4 years. Do you have an internal candidate?
I do. My service manager that works for me, we've had discussions over the past couple of years. And right now I'm working with my attorney to draw up some legal mumble jumbo to kind of like handcuff him here and handcuff me here and so that it could all work out. So that's the plan, an internal candidate. I mean, let's be honest, Carm, half the customers don't even know I own the place anymore. So it is a good thing. That's what I mean. So,
well, that's a good thing then, right? So if you're down to 4 days, are you in every day or are you like working three there and one from home?
I'm down to 3.5 myself.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I leave a half day on Thursdays now.
So the team's running the business for you.
Pretty much. You know, it's funny. It's one of the hardest lessons for me to learn. I can't even think of when I learned it heard it the first time, but it's work on the business and not in the business. That took me many, many years to learn and understand. And now that I'm working on the business and not in the business, I don't know how I did it before. So anybody listening, I mean, if you're still working in it, and maybe when you're a young business and just starting out, I get it. You have to wear many hats. But as the business grows, you need to start taking some of those hats off. And I'm not going to criticize anybody that's working in their business, because I know how hard it was for me to finally pull. I mean, look, I even dress nicely now so that I don't go out there and get dirty. So,
oof. See, I've heard that is one really big leap that owners have been taught either by their coaches or, you know, through networking groups. Change your clothes so that you don't want to go out and the wife comes in and says, you're in the bays again. Why? I hate cleaning these grease off these shirts of yours.
Yeah, no, she would definitely say something. But no, I do that. I wear a nice pair of slacks. I wear a nice button-up collared shirt. And I feel I look professional, but I don't want to go out in the shop and get all dirty. Now, I still go out there and I, hey, what's going on over here? You know, type of thing. And sometimes stick my nose in.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with that. That's management by walking around. That's using your intuition. That's paying attention to what's going on. And then coming back at the end of the day saying, what did I hear? What did I see? What did I feel? If you jump in and micromanage little tiny things, your team's never going to want to make a gutsy decision without you.
Yep. Well, it's funny because probably goes back about 2 years now. I was out in the shop and the one guy says, hey, says, have you ever seen how to do this or whatever? And I get in there. I'm like, oh, move aside. I start working in there and he kind of pulls me aside. He goes, how am I ever going to learn if you do it for me? And I thought that was good, you know? So I just kind of backed off and I said, here's what you need to do. And I just kind of stood there and folded my hands and let him do his job. So it's difficult for me. I was always a hands-on person. And so that very difficult for me to make that transition.
Those are always great slap upside the head moments that we all need. I wrote my most recent blog that I wrote was called, Are You a Mechanic or Owner? And it's just kind of what you and I talked about in we want to open a business and we have for years and it's a hobby. And in order to really reap the benefits of really good quality success, both personal and business, you have to become, you know, the chief executive officer somehow. And everyone, no one knows how. That's why they hire a coach or an accountability partner or go to these conferences and take all these great classes to teach them that. You were mentioning working on the business. And of course, that was Michael Gerber's The E-Myth that was written so many years ago, and it applies exactly to our business. I mean, I think that's going to be a business, something that if you want to get yourself up and out of, I don't want to say the word failure or marginality in making a profit and running a business and hiring great people, you have to learn not to work in it, but work on it. And that's such a tough, tough haul for people.
It is hard because, again, I mean, when I went into business for myself, it was me. I mean, I answered the phone, I made the appointments, I did the invoice, I did the repairs, you know, I did everything. And slowly you start hiring other people to do those things, but you still feel like you got to have your fingers in it all. Honestly, one of the hardest things for me was going from, even though we're working 4 days a week, but I went from a 4-day work week to 3.5. And, you know, I leave at 1 o'clock on Thursdays. I'm like, oh, it still feels weird, Carm. It really does. But I walk away and I'm like, I know things are going to run just fine. And I'll come in Monday and the shop is still here and everything got closed out on Thursday like it should. And life is good. So it's getting easier though.
This great advice that you've given us. And again, one of the best advices that I was ever given was the words, pay attention. And you can still pay attention from afar. You can still review, do repair order audits. I mean, there's still so many things that you as an owner can do to stay connected to the business as you are grooming a successor. And even if someone's listening to this and says, well, you know, I'm only really 40 years old. Everyone tells me it's a perfect time to start planning this long term because you never know who the candidate to an internal succession could be. And if you're growing a great business and you're young and you've gotten the right mentoring or accountability partner, the big thing today, Keith, and we haven't even talked about this, but scaling and growing and the opportunity for private equity to come in and buy up these 5 to 10 store groupings, or these independent groupings. This industry is on fire for, you know, M&A, mergers and acquisitions. yes, you could be a big 10 bay, you know, super center, but the opportunity to grow a great business when you're young needs to be highly, highly considered. That's just my point. And I bet you if I asked you, would you make a change or something different 20 years ago, I'm sure you would have four things on a list to tell me, I should have done this, I should have done that, right?
I'll tell you the first thing, should have hired a coach right from the start. There's always all kinds of things, you know, you would have, should have, could have, but, you know, I don't know how long I fought having a coach, you know, I got it, I'm good. But that just makes a whole difference, having a coaching company with you, you know. And I don't care who you pick. I mean, there's all kinds out there. There's a lot of great people out there. Just pick one and work with them. Listen to them. They know their stuff.
Such incredible advice. Thanks for hanging out with me. And let's catch up to find out what's going on in the world of Keith Katz at Quality Service Center in York, PA. Wow, 27-year business.
And again, when you mentioned that, it was 2015 when We did our first one,
yeah.
Podcast together, just kind of like shooting a breeze. And it's like 10 years ago? Come on, Carm. That's a long time. And you've done a lot of great things with your podcast. So I appreciate them all.
And I think if we both look at each other's picture from then, we have a little less gray hair.
I'll bet we do.
But you are so young in what you speak and how you look. And I don't feel gray hairish.
I probably had a lot less wisdom back then, too. It's amazing the things that you learn in 10 years.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thank you so much for being here. And to our listener, thank you so much for your support over all these years. And we have some really fun, neat, new things that are coming up that we can't wait to make some announcements about. And whatever you do, please do it well. Thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.